Well, good morning, everyone. And happy Father's Day. It's my chance to say that. And, you know, today, as we come to the Word, today is not a Father's Day message. This morning, well, we are coming back to our series of David in the Wilderness, and I know that it has been a little choppy as it's been broken up. But for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be with David in the Wilderness as we continue to look into 1 Samuel. Now, the last few messages, if you've been around, you know have been about David in the cave, Saul in the cave in the wilderness. We're finally getting out of the cave this week. But, and you'll remember that David was in that cave in the wilderness because Saul was literally out to get him, to end David and remove the threat of David to his rule as king. And David had never tried to harm Saul. David had done nothing but be loyal to Saul. I mean, David was even his son-in-law. And David had done nothing. And he was not going to attempt to hurt the Lord's anointed. Even though the Holy Spirit had long since departed Saul, David was not going to hurt him. David even resisted the temptation to take him out in that cave as Saul came in to relieve himself and David and his men were hiding in that cave. David knew that hurting Saul was not the God-honoring way to get to the throne. David did not take that shortcut because of his reverence for God. And his reverence for God impacted his actions. He did, however, sneak up, cut off a corner of Saul's robe, and he even felt bad about that after the fact. So we're going to continue the story today, and I'm trusting we're going to pull out some good truth that can impact our lives. So let me read to you the rest of 1 Samuel 24, 8 to 22. Now, David waited for a bit after Saul left the cave so they could get some distance between them. 1 Samuel 24, 8. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down, prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lift my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evil doers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." When David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Let's pray. We'll head into this today. Father God, thank you so much for the worship that has already taken place here today. Lord, I thank you for just your working within our midst. And Father, I would come and Jesus, in your name, I would pray that you would forgive me my sins and cleanse me. And Holy Spirit, please come and fill me up. And Lord, today that my friends would hear from you. And Lord, that they would take some time in these moments and in the moments following this service to ponder the question that's going to come at them this day. Father, I pray that you will bless them. I pray, Lord, you would make them aware. Lord, I pray for epiphany moments where that aha, the light goes on, and they may understand some things anew and what's been happening and going on within their own lives. But Jesus, I depend on you for that. Holy Spirit, would you work and speak to this family, my family today? Lord, just please continue to be here with us in our midst and bless us as we're here together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So David had just spared the king's life. And he emerges from that cave with the greatest of humility before the king who's trying to kill him. Then David went out of the cave, called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down, prostrated himself with his face to the ground. And this is not just humility. This is also a way of honoring the king. And David's next words reveal that he has a greater understanding of what's going on in Saul's world than Saul himself has in these moments. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you?" See, David knows that there are men whispering these things in Saul's ear. Men playing on Saul's insecurity, stirring up fears about the future, what it would hold for Saul and his family. David knows Saul is allowing these men to have influence in his life in the worst way. And he simply asks, "Why? Why? Why, my king, are you allowing these people to influence you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said I will not lift my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed." You know, and as this story is played out for us in the scriptures, it speaks to our lives. As our lives are lived out in this our generation. And I want to ask the question today, to whom are you listening? To whom are you listening? Who are you letting have influence in your life? And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, "Hey, pastor guy, listen, no one influences this guy. No way. Doesn't happen." Okay, let me say, I'm sorry to pop the bubble. You're just kidding yourselves. Because all of us are influenced every day with the choices we make. Those choices may be as simple as what we eat or what we wear, or they could be more complicated about moving towards or moving away from a person or a place or a thing that we desire. But we are all influenced. And oftentimes, it is who we are listening to that influences us. Who we listen to. When I was the associate pastor out west in Kamloops, one of my roles was staff development and care. So I would meet individually with each staff member, usually about every month, every 6 weeks. And we go for a meal, and I just do all the catching up, making sure they're doing okay. And I saw something happening at that time with our worship pastor. He had been there about 2 years at this point, and he was getting more and more dissatisfied with the worship teams in the church and what was actually taking place in the congregation during worship on Sundays, and how people were not fully entering in to worship. And he started complaining, and honestly, he started to get grumpy. Grumpy. And I noticed this because he wasn't a grumpy guy. He and his wife were some of the most positive people you could ever meet. But the words he began to speak and his actions were not lining up to who I believed him to be. And to be candid, I had no idea what was going on. None. And so I went to my two-step system. First step, ask Jesus to give me insights because I knew God totally knows what's going on inside of my friend. And I was wondering, so I'm sitting there and I'm praying through this. What's going on with Mike? And I'm praying through it and I was wondering, is there some kind of holy discontent that's rising up within him? God, that's from you. Is this from you what's going on in him? Or is it something else? So step one is you go to God, you seek him out, and you listen. Step two, go to the person. And I would encourage it this way every time. Because if you're willing to spend the time in prayer asking for help and spend time in prayer listening, well, I have found our Lord really wants to help us in our relationships. And he will give you insights. At least that has been my experience. Now, in this case, I went to the Lord, I listened, and what I got was just ask him a question. I'm like, that's it, Lord? Just ask him. I'm like, okay, I'll ask him a question. So we got together over a meal, and after doing the big family check-in, I asked him the question the Lord had led me to. I said to him, hey, who are you letting have influence over your life right now? He got a weird look on his face, and he asked me why I would ask that question. And I didn't jump to, God told me to. I didn't go there. I went, well, I said, Mike, you're acting different. And I'm just wondering what's going on. See, you know God is working when you're at a lunch date and the person you're meeting with puts down their knife and fork and their head goes back and they kind of shut their eyes and go, and he's thinking. He's thinking. And he let me know that he had been meeting with another pastor in town. And as he met with his other pastor in town, he was telling him, this other pastor was telling him all the great things happening in his church. All the things that they were doing in his church. And then telling Mike what he needed to do in our church if he wanted to see the same outcome. And my friend Mike was being influenced by this guy in a very negative way. That he was not cutting it. That he was not the leader he should be, that he could not lead God's people in worship. You know, I came across this quote while kind of researching this message, and it's not attached to anyone's name, but it says this: you can be much more influential if the people are not aware of your influence. You can be much more influential if people are not aware of your influence. And my friend was not aware that what this person's influence was doing to him. And his outlook. And so I spent the next little while with him reminding him of what God was doing within our church family. What I saw God doing through my friend and the ministry that God had entrusted to him. Because he was and he is a great leader. And he was and he is having a great impact where God has called him to be. And to this day, he is one of the best worship pastors I've ever known, next to Dan Hogan, of course. But whom are you listening to? Who are you letting have influence over you? You see, Saul had the Ziphites and others that were whispering in his ears, constantly playing on Saul's insecurities, and they had gained influence of Saul because of it. Now, you might remember the Ziphites were the ones who offered to help hunt David down to Saul. And Saul, I would think at this time, was easily influenced by these men as he listened to them because he really was a spiritual mess. But he was still the king. He was still calling the shots. But Saul was not the only one who had somebody trying to influence him. Saul was not the only one who had people whispering in his ear, talking to him, trying to seek to have influence. David also was surrounded by men who sought to have influence over him, who were given David their opinions, and they sought to have influence over David. I mean, you remember what David's men said to him when Saul wandered into that cave to go to the bathroom. The men said, This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. They wanted David to take Saul out, or at least give them permission to take Saul out. They even tried to connect their advice to God. They attempted to look spiritual about it. And David would have none of it. And he says to Saul, as he's speaking to him that day, this day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lift my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed. You see, both David and Saul had people speaking to them and at them. But David was also listening to another. In fact, who David listened to was who Saul listened to at the beginning of his rule as king. And it's when Saul stopped listening to the Lord and had no real desire to listen to the Lord that things started going sideways in his rule. David, on the other hand, David wanted to hear from God. David was listening to the Lord. David had the Holy Spirit resting on him from the time he was anointed as a boy in Bethlehem. 1 Samuel 16:13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. David had the Holy Spirit upon him. And yes, David had use of the Old Testament ways of determining the will of God, but there was not always time for that. And those ways were not always available in the moment. It was God's influence on David that directed his actions, because David had been listening to God. Take Psalm 5 as an example of David's heart. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. He is waiting to hear from God. He is wanting the Lord's response to his prayers. But it's more than that. And we saw a few weeks ago that God to David was refuge. He was refuge for David. And what a great thing that is. But it speaks to David's heart. It speaks to his desire to love God and his great desire to have God influence him as he sought to obey his Lord. And he listened to God because he loved him. David writes, while he was in the wilderness in Judah, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. See, David's a man who loves God, seeks him, whose heart's desire is to hear from him. And you can see it and you can hear it in the words that he writes. And he does. He does have the Lord speaking to him. Listen to Psalm 16, 7 and 8. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Counsels him at his right hand. That's close. That's real close. That he might hear from God. And David is listening to the Lord. And it's God's guidance that he is seeking to follow. First and foremost in his life. Whom is David listening to? the Lord, his God. His God. Our God. Our Heavenly Father. See, the very cool thing here is the Holy Spirit who rested on David indwells each of us as followers of Jesus. I mean, if you have professed Jesus as Lord, that is, he has the driving wheel of your life, and you have accepted him as Savior, that is, you've asked for that forgiveness Jesus provided for us on the cross, and you've asked for that forgiveness, and you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And with that standing, you have received so much from God. I mean, there is a ton of things that God does for us. But one of those things is he gives himself to us. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that rested on David to empower him for life, indwells us as Christians to do the same thing. Empower us, strengthen us, and I believe speak to us. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. This is an amazing gift from God. The Holy Spirit, who can and will speak to us, to direct us as we move through life. But are we listening? To whom are you listening? And I want to be really clear this morning about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never, ever contradict the Word of God. He'll encourage us to read it. He'll encourage us to obey it, to think on it, to study it often, but never, ever will the Holy Spirit contradict the Word of God. Now, many of you know the Holy Spirit is often compared to a still, small voice. And it's a small voice that we can train ourselves to hear. And not with our ears, but with our hearts, like I believe David did. David was listening to the Lord. David had God's counsel, and that counsel guided and directed David. And we see it lived out in David's life in this instance by the fact he would do no harm, he would do no evil to Saul, even when opportunity seemed to present itself. And his men were encouraging it. Go for it, David, take him out. But David did what was right by God. David honored God by his actions. David goes on to say, see my father, and remember that Saul was David's father-in-law. Look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. I mean, this is visible proof. David had opportunity to end Saul. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you're hunting me down to take my life. You know, I think in this moment, David is literally wearing his heart on his sleeve. You know, that hoping that Saul might come to his senses and realize David means him no harm. That he's been listening to the wrong people. And Saul might come to an understanding that he has not been listening to God for a long time. Now, we're going to come back to this passage next week to finish it off. But I want to ask this question again. Whom are you listening to? Who are you allowing to have influence in your life? See, this is such an important question for us to ask ourselves, to think on. Are the people around me that I am listening to good people? Do they have hearts that are seeking to honor God? Or are they just looking out for themselves? Am I just a means to an end for them? Am I listening to God, or am I getting caught up in someone else's agenda? Whom am I listening to? Saul, boy, he got himself on a bad path. And it went from bad to worse because of who he was listening to. David, he had many well-meaning people around him who were seeking to have influence on him as well. But in that point of decision, in that cave, the fact that God had David's ear showed up in his actions. And it saved him from making a mistake, saved him from the sin of taking Saul's life. My friends, I want to encourage you today. This is the big encouragement. Let God have your ear. Let God have your heart. Might we seek after him like David, who sought after him like water in a dry land. That we would desire to hear from God so very much. We would desire his counsel on how we are to do life. And we would talk to God about who we're letting have influence over our lives. I mean, all of us, all the time, have so many people talking to us, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, you know, and about how we're going to live, how we should do life, what is right, what is wrong, you know, and who are we letting have that influence over us? I would encourage our youth, our young adults, you know, I know that you guys are at the stage of life where you're making all kinds of decisions. And I know there are times that your parents seek to have influence over you. And there's a real temptation, at least there was when I was a kid, and I don't think that's changed a whole lot. Lots has changed, but I don't think this has. That we want to listen to our friends. Ask yourself, are your friends you're listening to good, godly friends? Because sometimes, you know, as youth, as young adults, we give a lot of influence to people who don't have much investment in us, where we ignore the parents who have spent their lifetime loving us and raising us. We need to listen to our dads and our moms, who God has gifted us with. Because God will use parents to speak to us. I encourage you in that. Listen to them. And I would say, I'd go as far to say, even if your parents don't know Jesus, God still can work in and through them in a powerful way in your life. My friends, might we live our lives listening to our Heavenly Father? Might you, in listening to him, discover the very life that your Heavenly Father dreams of for you? Because he made you for that. I tell you, there's nothing greater than living out the dreams that God has for you. Whom are you listening? Might it be the Lord our God who loves us. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for David. I thank you for these narratives that we have of the life that he was living and just the Psalms as they can fill in what was happening spiritually there. Father, I want to pray this morning that this, my church family, that they would wrestle with this question of whom they're listening to. And Father, that they might have that epiphany moment and realize maybe there's someone who has influence over them that is not positive. But Lord, on the other side, realize there are people that just love you and just the joy it is to have that person have influence over them as well. But God, I pray that every one of us, Lord, every one of us would seek to have ears to hear, hearts to hear your still small voice, Lord. Oh, Jesus, speak to us. Holy Spirit, who fills us, speak to us that we may follow and become the women and the men you dream of. Jesus, I ask this in your name. Amen.